And I've been having this conversation with so many people, my friends, and they tell me about their experiences with young people in the workplace. And then I got sent this video 2 days ago. And just take a listen. Take a listen.
Amy, it says you are trained in technology. That's very good. Are you adept at Excel?
No.
PowerPoint?
No.
Publisher?
Not really.
Exactly in what area of technology are you proficient?
Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, Vine, Twitter. You know the big ones.
I'm surprised you didn't say Facebook.
That's for old people, like my parents. That's funny.
Well, Amy, when you're working for me, you have to have those kind of research skills because I'll send you things for you to comb through and get the answers and send them to me. So for that, you got to be really good at technology.
For stuff like that, no problem. I'll just ask Siri.
You'll just ask Siri?
You know, Siri tell me this, Siri find me that. We're all good getting you the answers.
Tell Siri I want you ready to go at 8 sharp each and every morning.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
What you just said.
You don't understand be ready to go?
No. You said 8, right?
Yes.
8, like in the morning, 8?
Yes, in the morning.
Yeah. That kind of doesn't work for me. Who gets up at 8?
I do.
I Skype with my French boyfriend in Paris until like 3 in the morning. I don't even get to Starbucks until like 10, where I order my grande chai tea latte, 3 pumps, skim milk, light water, 2% foam, extra hot, but not too hot. So if it's okay, I work best in the morning at 10:45.
Wow. Amy, I don't think we're going to be a good fit.
Why are you so negative? I can sense your hostilities, and right now I am not feeling very safe. I've been here for over 5 minutes, and the only nice thing you have said to me was nice resume, which I typed all night for this meeting with you. You've given me no guidance, no validation, no encouragement, no supervision. Is there an HR director somewhere?
HR director?
Yes, I need to speak to someone. I may have to take off today as a mental health day.
Take the day off, you, Amy. Amy, look at me. You don't work here.
Are you firing me?
Okay, yes.
All right, I'm joined in studio right now by the very awesome Dion Chang, trained and design consultant at Flux Trends. Dion, what do you think about what we just listened to? Because I saw this video and I was like, I feel like this is a lot of the young people that work with me.
I read it with you there. I think most HR people are listening and going, yeah, right. This is kind of what it's like. Interesting thing when I without having the video in front of me, she sounds like the millennial thing, but it also sounds like a Gen Z thing. So what we're saying to a lot of our people, we deal with a lot of future work, future skills. And when people are saying, oh, you know, how do we deal with millennials? I said, you had better quickly have dealt with them already because we've already moved on then. Sorry, millennials listening, but you had your time in the sun. We've moved on. We're looking at Gen Z, who are your teenagers, and the eldest Gen Zs are your new entry level workforce. So if you've had trouble adapting to millennial mindset, then you got another wake up call coming.
Okay, let's quickly clarify what is millennial mindset before we start differentiating the difference between them and Gen Z.
Because it's just sort of it gets expanded, but there are nuances in between. So just let's take a big general sweep. So we're looking at millennial generations, which are sort of your 20s going into your 30s. And the reason why we're saying that our focus at Flux has moved on to Gen Z is because your millennials, the oldest millennials are actually moving into management positions already. So they've become entrenched into that workforce. And if you are a big corporate, and generally it's the big corporates that find it difficult to fit because it's a very rigid system, you've got to remember what shapes that millennial mindset. So if we go really quickly into that, it is the adaptation of new technologies. It's about the acceptance of being a gig worker, working that. There's a mantra of, I don't really want a job, I want a lifestyle, which makes a lot of HR practitioners choke on their spreadsheets. But if you really think about it, it makes a lot more sense. And I think the overarching thing, if we really have to just take big threads, is that people want to be engaged. They want jobs that are meaningful. They want to be able to contribute to that. If you look at the way corporate structures are laid out and all of those kind of structures, labor laws, everything's was spawned in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. They don't actually fit into how we are moving into a digitized world and a new world order. So it starts making quite a lot of sense.
So are you speaking about things like for instance, I think I'm drawn, and ironically, as much as I'm complaining about the so-called millennials, yeah, there's certain things I get, like flexible work hours,
yes,
or being able to work from home. I saw something on Business Insider where a guy turned his van into an office so that he could have a different view every day. And I was like, sure, this is so dope. This is so me. And the way that I approach my stuff is I'm not bothered about when I see you and when I don't.
Just do the work.
I'm deadline driven.
Yeah.
That's me. Of course, there has to be some kind of structure, because the moment you let them go free, yeah, then they start like running amok. I sound like a mother hen right now, but that's how I feel. So how do we find that balance? Because that generation millennial is still there.
Yes.
And people still haven't mastered it, where a person does say, I need a mental health day.
No, exactly. And I actually advocate having a mental health day. I think it's really good.
I hope my bosses are listening.
we do that. So because I run a trends company, we have to walk the talk. So we do remote, we do complete flexible hours. Everything that we use a lot of gig workers. It's a very, very fluid way of working, and it does work. So I understand that I can do it because it's a small company.
Yes.
And big corporate company, it's a lot more difficult to do that. But if they look at it, so if we go back and just think about the flexibility, and I do that at a lot of talks and cause a little bit of a mini revolution with HR people. They don't really like me when I say this. I say, hands up anybody in the audience who has answered an email on their phones outside of office hours. So of course everybody picks up
their
hands.
We all do. Mm.
And I say, well, technically you're all remote workers. So why do we hang on to this quaint relic of the 20th century of a 40-hour work week that starts at 9 and ends at 5? Why do we force everybody to sit in traffic for 1 or 2 hours every day, 5 days a week, so that we can all simultaneously get to a space where your work is going to be fluid? Anyway, if we go back to the kind of, I want more meaning, I don't want to just be a cog in the wheel, I say to a lot of people, do you not get the conflict of interest? So it doesn't even have to be a millennial young person. If you're standing in a bank in whatever queue that you don't like and you're getting bad service, you tweet, you get an immediate response.
Mm.
So I say, that kind of technological savvy, you're able to contribute, you're able to engage. You come back into a work or corporate environment, you're told to shut up and not be able to contribute.
Yeah.
So, and you're seeing over and over and over again where a lot of young people and young ideas are starting to kick in and find solutions. So what we're saying is you need to have hybrid skills, but hybrid generational workforce as well.
Because isn't it true that young people would rather take the job that fulfills them?
Mm.
Than the one that pays them more money?
Yes,
I think
sure.
that was the last of the statistics that I looked for. I think it was a study done in the US and the UK that young people would rather take less money, knowing that they have more freedom, they have more, they're contributing more, they feel noticed, they feel acknowledged, they feel like they're doing something. So when I think about that, which industries would you say that just does not apply to them at all? This whole Gen X millennial. I mean, are we talking about police officers? Are we talking about like television production? Or even radio being here?
Yes.
If there is going to reach a point where possibly radio hosts can do their shows from home.
Technology is enabling all of that. So where I find the biggest conflict points are those very, very rigid corporate structures.
Mm.
And if I go back again, if you look at where labor laws were created, where corporations were created, where factories and manufacturing, after the first industrial revolution, it's all 20th century ways of doing things. So you're seeing the same conflict happen with organizations like Uber. Are they partner drivers or are they employees?
Yes.
We are sort of harking back, going back to the default of no, they're actually employees. You've got to, you know, look after those kind of things. But you're just seeing this sort of a tidal wave that's coming through. And we've got to adapt and look at new ways of doing things. So obviously, if you're in retail, and yes, you know, if you're on the radio, you had better be here at what, 8 o'clock?
Are you saying I have to still come to work? I was hoping this conversation, I'm going to say to my boss, so you heard, we're cool.
No, but I'm saying, you know, there's certain industries that yes, there are rigid time things, that's opening times, but in the majority of office type work, It needs to be a lot more fluid. It needs to be, it's got to have that meaning. And I think one of the things is, it's besides the flexibility of it, is the fact that, we want to contribute. You need to have different things. So it's not a top down kind of, organization. And that's where corporations are at risk because it is very, very rigid. It's very siloed. And all the research that we've done is when I talk about hybrid skills is, you know, you're no longer just in the marketing department. There is some way that the boundaries will blur, and you need to do a lot more things that,
you know, what I love about what you just said. There's a book called the Art of Creative Thinking. And one of the things, one of the chapters, he speaks about how, we are not flourishing as businesses because we keep people in their departments. Mm. And he was tasked to go to Dubai or somewhere to revamp a TV station. He literally brought the cleaners and everyone in and said, okay, you're the director, you're the this. We need to create a brand new soapy. And a brand new soapy came, because he says, when you are stuck in the marketing department, your brain and your thinking is geared a certain way. Whereas the person in accounts might have such a brilliant idea. They're not acknowledged. They're not seen because you're the accounts person. You're not a creative. Keep quiet.
Exactly. And our idea of how businesses are run is you have silos and you have hierarchies. Mm. And for me, those are the two biggest stumbling blocks of how to move forward into this new world order and a new way of really looking at how to work, and the most effective way of working as well. So yes, you need to blur things. Everybody needs to have an opinion. You know, so we explore a lot of different concepts there for a while. About 2 years back, some companies were experimenting with holocracies, which are sort of self-governing departments. Mm-hmm. So you don't have the
holocracy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So big organizations like Whole Foods, which Amazon just bought last year, run on holocracies. So your different departments or your different branches are all self-governing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everybody, because if you are used to that corporate hierarchical and very siloed structure, if you're a manager, you might not want to relinquish that power. And if you're just an office worker and you like being a cog in the wheel, you don't want to take that responsibility. So it doesn't work for every single company, but for the companies where it does work, it's been spectacular, because suddenly everybody feels engaged. And I think that's, you know, just in this brief conversation, that's come over and over again, is that people don't feel they can contribute. So when people complain and say, I'm not going to call them just millennials, because there's a wider with the Gen Z's coming through, is when a younger workforce has a fast turnover in the organization, and the rule is about 2 years, because it looks okay on your CV, not have left after 18 months, but 2 years is kind of acceptable. But the churn is there, and people say, you know, we can't retain people. I don't know how to keep that. And I say, and then I ask them a whole lot of questions. Are you doing this? Are you doing this? And it's always no. And I'm saying, is that any wonder why people aren't staying? Because if I'm just going to be a cog in the wheel, and I go back to the social media, you know, example, if I'm able to engage, if I'm able to do things, if I'm able to contribute, and I feel my opinion should be valued, and I think in many cases there are good ideas that come out. If I'm just told that you're the assistant, and you can't say anything, then why would I stay? I don't have any future there. So
I'm thinking about company culture, and Shem, I don't want to expose this company. My younger brother is so happy where he works. It's a banking institution.
Yes.
But he says they've got the greatest culture, in the sense that there's no individual offices. Your boss is on the same level as you. It's open plan. There is no hierarchy. We're all on the same level. And so being this young 27-year-old, he's kind of still millennial, but he's got a fantastic work ethic. The one day he's like, he's going to try the Friday happy socks.
Yeah.
But the boss from head office was there, and then it was frowned upon. And he's like, the timing was really bad. I have to do it on another day because our culture's cool. You know, so I'm thinking about company culture and how important that is.
And why would socks have anything to do with your performance?
It's so bizarre because I think they've got that thing of like you're engaging with these multi-million rand clients.
Yes.
And how are they going to feel about how you handle their money if you're wearing happy socks? I was like, I'd feel kind of happy. Like, well, I want to know the guy handling my money is a happy guy.
Well, your new tech-savvy CEOs are of that same age as well. And, you know, they probably look at you even a bit more askance if you're wearing a suit and tie rather than having, you know, the happy socks. So, yeah.
So, for me, I'm like, what should companies be implementing in terms of culture? Should we be, I work in small companies. When it's someone's birthday, we all get involved. Yes. We buy the cake. We do the whatever. If it's hot, randomly there'll be an email that's like, guys, we need our thirst quenched to the boss. Everyone copied. And then it's like, are we going to the bottle store? Okay. You know, but in, you know, what can big corporates look at starting to implement?
Okay. So about 2 years ago, I went on quite a phenomenal innovation tour because I went to find the holy grail of innovation. So I toured, we visited about 50 top performing companies in New York.
Wow.
So from ad agencies to architectural firms to 3D printing factories, it was phenomenal. And what I went for was not what I came back with. What I came back with was a totally different idea of what sparks innovation. And people always see innovation as an entity. It's like, it's going to be a device. It's going to be a this. But what hit home with me after that trip was innovation was actually about innovative company culture.
Yes.
And it's exactly the stuff that we've been chatting about was no silos, no hierarchies, different ways of communication to that. I went to, here's my new hero is Craig Dykers from Snohetta, architectural firm. Exactly that. If you've got an open plan office, he sits at the end of one of those open plan things, and he's opposite that. They've got a big bell in the firm, so that when somebody's pregnant, hungry, whatever, they do an announcement and, you know, everything. But it was such an amazing culture. And if you look at where we are going in terms of business, in terms of problem solving and critical thinking and the creative juices needed to spark innovation, and every single company is looking for that innovation, going forward. What it really means is a lot of communication. And if you look at the corporate cultures, you don't have that sort of communication because it's siloed, because it's hierarchical. There's no kind of sharing of ideas. There's nothing that cross-pollinates, with each other. And so, for example, there's an eyewear company called Warby Parker. They went online. They're one of those people that started online, went offline.
Yes.
They've got an amazing thing. They've got, and it's one of those companies we visited. They actually have a dedicated team called a culture team, and they organize lunch roulettes. So they just go randomly in the company, you, here's some nice budget from the company, go and have lunch and chat.
Actually, my brother did say the boss one day chose lots of random people in the office for them to do a lunch. But what they do every Friday, because the company has a little cafeteria, they have breakfast together every Friday morning. All departments, all age groups, all everything, and they just talk. They're not allowed to talk about work.
Yeah. But for me, if you are talking about work, what makes a lot of sense for me is that somebody in a different department, you understand what their problems are. You understand what the logistical issues are. You understand the bottlenecks that happen to it, and things start flowing much, much easier. We went to this huge multinational ad agency, RGA, and what was interesting, so just on a physical level, they took two floors in this amazing building just overlooking the Hudson River, but you could only enter it in one floor. So I said, why did you guys do this? They just moved in. And they said, there's 900 people there. Nobody knows each other. So we force everybody to through one. That's just one little aspect. And then when you went into their foyer, there were these huge screens all around, and they were showing the campaigns they did. So I said, you know, is that just like your showreel for clients to come in? They said, yes. But because we're such a large agency, you have these cases where people that are in the agency say, oh, I didn't know that we did that campaign. I didn't know it was our client. So it was a way of just getting more of that communication so that everybody is on the same page that we do. So in my company, because we work remotely, we work flexible hours, we have gig workers, we've got all of that, there's only one non-negotiable meeting, which is a status meeting on a Monday. And that's where everybody comes in so that everybody knows what's happening, which project we're working on, what clients we're doing, all of those. And these are all kind of learnings that I've taken from that New York trip, and I've started implementing with that. And yes, they do work.
I love some of the things that you are putting out there. Where can corporates, like my other brother and I worked for a massive company. I mean, huge, but he in IT. He told me that they don't even serve coffee because there's just so many of them. And I was like, what? Like, there's so much mingling that, like, coffee's such a important part of my work.
It's a basic human right.
It's a basic human right. He's like, no.
And you don't serve instant coffee either. No. I'm very adamant about that.
So can you imagine? So I'm like, I started thinking about small things like, yes, some companies can't afford to feed people, but there are companies that subsidize the cafeteria and you can get a really cheap sandwich or blah, 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 blah. Where can corporates possibly put their money, maybe where they're not thinking about putting their money, to just boost
exactly. I think
morale?
I think it is looking at those intangibles, which are not on that spreadsheet in HR, to say, you know, actually, this is really important. The mental health day off, you know, we've seen different countries around the world last year, you know, give their female workers menstrual leave.
Oh my gosh, menstrual leave, I want it.
So, you know, you've got good mental health days, you've got, you know, those kind of things. And I just think those are, you know, those are really important. And when you talk to very rigid people who are in that corporate structure, that, you know, they have a huge distrust about remote workers and people are not going to, you know, fulfill their time and everything. Then I say to them, then you've just hired the wrong people.
So companies need to relook how they are hiring people.
If you can't, so the mantra that we've come across with all of the research was, a lot of HR people are doing hire for attitude, retrain for skills, because the skill set, and that's why the blurring of the silos and the different departments needs to happen, is because business is changing so rapidly. Your skill sets have to change all the time. And every single company is going to try, is doing two things at one time. They're trying to retain institutional memory, and they're also trying to put something new high tech in, which is why I say you need to do hybrid skills. You need an older workforce and a younger workforce, mentorship, new ideas from the younger workforce, and it does work, and it can work. It's not the easiest thing to do, but it does work, and in a few years' time, you're going to have to do it because that's the way the world is going.
Young people that are going out there with or without matric, whatever their skills are, what can they do to stand out? I know the CV conversation has been going on forever. There's people who have these colorful, beautiful CVs with their pictures on. Some of them are even doing video CVs.
Yes.
What should young people be doing?
Look, I think, especially in South Africa, because we've got such a dire situation and youth unemployment levels, is, you know, it's going to be so almost impossible to stand out from the crowd. So for me, it's not really that CV. It's the willingness to say, I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to just get my foot in the door, because over and over again, we hear the saying, you don't have experience. You've got the qualification, but not.
Yes.
And I think that's the one thing, is like, just say, I'm willing to do anything, to learn. And I'm just going to come in and I want to learn from you as much as possible. And I know everybody is also going to try and do that, but we need to at least just start nibbling at that, that kind of.
Yes. So can companies hire you to help them implement some of these things?
Yeah, because we're an advisory service, and we've done, you know, from millennials to the Gen Zs. And then because of that research, we looked at the skills needed for new businesses. And then we specialize in disruption as well. So it all actually comes together in terms of, like, what is a new business model and how should businesses behave and operate.
How can people get in touch?
Website, www.fluxtrends.com, and we're there, and we love the future.
And Flux Trends is FLUX.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dion Chang, trend and design consultant at Flux Trends.
Thank you, and we love young workers.
Yes.